Welcome to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. Are you ready to go beyond your beliefs? Welcome back to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast, where we inspire you to go beyond the boundaries of your beliefs. I am your host, Jerrica.
I'm your host, Toya.
Welcome to the space. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the podcast and welcome to episode number nueve, number nine. Can you believe we've done nine episodes already?
No, it doesn't seem like it.
It really don't at all. But here we are. And today we are talking about our dharma, our purpose, and following our bliss.
Yeah, let's get into it.
That's exciting. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's something that comes easy, or what do you think?
I think for some, no. I know for me, the things that I know how to do, I'm not necessarily interested in doing. So I think that that's where the confusion can come with finding your dharma. Or even like some think it's the career. My purpose is my career.
Okay.
And it can be your career, but it can be difficult for those that don't have an interest in a particular career. If your thoughts is my purpose is focused on my career. So it can be a little bit difficult, I think.
It can. Okay, well, let's jump into it. I guess before we jump into it, I could say what my opinion is. I definitely felt like at one point that somebody's purpose, I can't say I thought it was necessarily related to career always, but I definitely felt like it was for, I guess, like special people. Like, I definitely didn't feel like everybody gets the opportunity to live their dharma or their purpose. You know, it's like, or some people will say, like, we all have the same purpose, which is to be beings of light or something like that. Which is like, yeah, that's generic. But then we all have different expressions of what that looks like. And that's what makes it like your dharma, you know, and special to you. But yeah, I just kind of felt like, you know, it's whatever you wanted to do in life. But for a long time, it was more so that of what you want to do in life, not necessarily if it's your purpose for being, you know. I can't say I started looking into that until I started like going through, I was well into my spiritual journey. Because it was just like, your responsibilities are what they are, and you got to do what you got to do to pay the bills.
Right.
That is the purpose to survive.
Right, exactly. So then that's how you can kind of get it into the career.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, but coming from a Christian background, when I thought about purpose, I had a more broad idea of purpose, meaning we're all here for a purpose. And once we fulfill that purpose, we die. That's what I believed.
Okay.
I felt like your purpose could be answering a particular phone call. Your purpose could be being at a place to help a particular person in need at that time. You're that person in place at that time. That was your purpose. And if you were to die after that, I would feel like your purpose is fulfilled. I felt that, you know, once you fulfilled your purpose, you just die. That's it. That's how I looked at finding your purpose when I was younger, you know.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about it. And we mentioned offline that you and I will be addressing this topic from different faith perspectives. So for me, I tend to address or approach dharma from a Hindu-based point of view, and Toya approaches it from more of a Buddhist point of view. So that's going to be really cool to really talk about that. So do you want to start first?
Well, I can.
Okay.
The concept of Dharma originate from Hinduism, and with Hinduism, it's still your path, your spiritual path. And so from a Buddhist teaching, it's Dharma. You discover your life purpose on your path to enlightenment.
Okay.
And so it's basically following, you following your right way, quote unquote, right way. Right way is subjective, therefore it's the right way for you. It's your own
It's unique to
personal,
you.
yeah, it's your
Okay.
own personal, I'm being true to myself
Okay.
journey.
Okay.
So when you're starting to be one with yourself, be true to yourself, what's quote unquote the right way for you in particular, then you are on your journey. You're on your road to enlightenment, but during that road, on that journey, that's when you find your dharma.
Okay.
That's the Buddhist perspective
The
of it.
Buddhist
You're
perspective.
listening
Okay.
in to true find your true self. That's listening to your intuition, doing
Okay.
what you feel is right, doing what you feel is best, where you serve your highest self.
Okay.
Right. And so that's how you can apply the Dharma to your life by serving your highest self. So to start is to start by following your instincts.
Okay.
Follow your intuition and do what feels right. Go what feels right. And so there are four noble truths that you have to accept, and then there's a eightfold path, and that path is the road to to your enlightenment.
Okay. Okay, and I'm familiar with the I'm definitely familiar with the Eightfold Path. The Four Noble Truths I'll probably recognize once you go through them. But from a Hindu perspective, your dharma is a Sanskrit word, and it has a lot of different meanings. And if for anybody that studies Hinduism, you will come across a lot of different interpretations of the word. But one of the interpretations, and the more popular one, would be your soul's purpose. So dharma would be what your purpose is and why you're for this life, for this lifetime. And it's something that you don't remember, a part of the incarnation is forgetting that, your true power, forgetting that you are a part of the all. And so a part of getting to your dharma is following the calls, that say you're calling. Well, it's following those little nuggets, and essentially that's going to lead you to your dharma. So there's also another way that they kind of look at it, and basically it's that your passions are for you, and your passions are what fulfills you. But your dharma or your calling is for others, and it's to serve others. And so that's how you know when, but your dharma does light you up. It's possible that you can be passionate about your dharma. So it's not like you have this soul's purpose and it's something that you can't stand doing. But whatever it is, it's something that you're going to have this innate feeling that needs to be shared. So if whatever you desire to do is something that you also want to share with the world, then that is possibly your dharma, or is very closely related to your dharma.
Right. And it seems like, but it has to be, it's something you love. It's something you're passionate about. So if you have to in a career that you may go to work every day, but you may not be happy about it, but like you said, you got to pay the bills. So you're there, but you can be very good at doing it.
Oh yeah, doesn't
So,
make it your dharma though.
right. It doesn't make it your
You're
dharma.
definitely gonna, but it's like you, not everything you're passionate about is gonna be your dharma either, you know? So you don't have to try to turn every hobby or every interest into some sort of life purpose kind of thing. But if it's something that, you know, there are passions that you just enjoy by yourself and for yourself, and then there are passions that you want to share with others and talk to others and show others. So it's like, you know, whatever you're passionate about that you be that you're like, oh, I need to call my best friend and I need to tell her about this, or oh, I'm gonna post this on my social media because I want other people to know. Whatever those types of things are, those are probably what's more related to your dharma versus if you just like to go to the spa or maybe you like to paint or work out, but it's just for you. You're not trying to be a yoga teacher. You're not trying to be a fitness coach. You just like to work out for you. Those are the passions that's reserved for you. But the dharma is that that you want to bring and share with other people.
It's like you have this knowing that this is something that you can do and you feel fulfilled doing it. I can share this with it with everyone. And Joseph Campbell, he has a really good breakdown of
Oh my God,
following your bliss, in the power of in the power of myth.
yes, the
And
hero's journey.
I wanted to read a little bit of just a part of that
Okay.
to kind of help you help the help see his breakdown of it.
Okay.
And so he says, I came to this idea of bliss because of Sanskrit, which is the great spiritual language of the world. There are three terms that represent the brink, the jumping off place to the ocean of transcendence: sat, chat, and ananda. The word sat means being, chat means consciousness, ananda means bliss or rapture. I thought, I don't know whether my consciousness is proper consciousness or not. I don't know whether what I know of my being is my proper being or not. But I do know where my rapture is. So let me hang on to rapture, and that will bring me both my consciousness and my being. I think it worked. Then the religious people tell us we really won't experience bliss until we die and go to heaven. But I believe in having as much as you can of this experience while you're still alive. So if you do follow your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while, waiting for you. And the life that you ought to be living is the one you are living. When you can see that, you begin to meet people who are in the field of your bliss and they open the doors to you. I say, follow your bliss and don't be afraid, and the doors will open where you didn't know they were going to be.
I freaking love that. I'm a huge fan of Joseph Campbell, so I am just eating that up. I love it. Now, listeners, did you hear that about the rapture? Now, listen up. You're not about to be caught up, okay, and carried off to La La Land. But metaphorically, I love the bliss of the rapture. And, you know, Joseph Campbell is also the creative of the hero's journey, which is literally the foundation to every heroic story, play, movie that you've ever seen. And the hero's journey is also represented in the tarot. So for any of you interested in the tarot, that's like the major arcana, starting off with the Fool. And you know, if you think about, like, say the Harry Potter series, you start out not knowing something about yourself. There's some sort of problem or issue, and then it graduates to a quest, you know, and then you know you're on this quest, And then while you're on this quest, you come across different teachers. And these different teachers impart knowledge into and they test you. It's all that. And then you and they're and they kind of, I guess they're like kind of like your helpers, like your teachers and stuff. But then you go through like some trials that begin to test the very things that your teachers have taught you and your mentors. And then because of that test, the person then no longer wants to answer the call. They're like, this is too much. I don't think this is for me. You chose the wrong one. In the Harry Potter series, definitely felt like that, like the burden, like his cross was too much to bear. And he was like, no, screw this. But then there's this call to action that they get. There's some sort of awakening that happens that empowers them with the courage to push forward. And they do, and they become this huge hero. They are, what's the word? Victorious. And then they go back into their world, so from the journey that they had left, they end up going back there, but they're elevated now. They're more enlightened. And then, eventually the whole cycle starts over again. For anybody that's interested, there is a like a it's like a mini documentary called Finding Joe, and it is based
It's really
off.
good.
Yes, and you can find, matter of fact, I think you can watch it on YouTube. I end up buying the movie, but I think you can watch it for free on YouTube. But it's called Finding Joe, and it is based off of the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey.
I was gonna ask you, I was gonna say, go ahead and share it. Finding Joe, share about
Yes.
how it was and how you have to quiet the voices of everyone else, their
Yes.
opinions and what they think. 'Cause we all have an idea. We can see some things in our children or, our partners and friends, and we see what we want them to do, or we see the life that we want
Oh,
them to
yeah.
have, or, oh, I can see you doing this and I can see you doing that. And it's hard sometimes for people to shut it off. So, I'm making a making my personal decision to not be so vocal in that area, because sometimes it's hard for a person, another person, to turn that off of what you've said. And so it kind of leaves you a little bit in bondage, like, well, they said I can do this and I'll be good at it, so maybe I should, but you may not have no interest in it at all. So, being able to turn off the people that you may disappoint because you're not following their journey. So it's a good story to share, Jerrica. Go
It is a
ahead.
very good story. And Joseph Campbell, like the documentary is so inspiring because you have thought leaders like Deepak Chopra, Tony Hawk is on there. Gosh, Rashida Jones is on there. A lot of other people, but essentially, Joseph Campbell encourages that you have to be willing to get rid of the life that you've planned so that you can live the life that's waiting for you. And that's what he means when he talks about following your bliss. Like there's a guy that's in there who was making a lot of money, six figures, working in a particular industry, and he quit to go coach soccer for, and he talks about how his family was like, "What the heck are you doing?" And it was not, him working in that job was just not fulfilling for him. And it even also the story of the Golden Buddha comes from this documentary too, which I love. If you have not heard the story of the Golden Buddha, you can look that up as well on YouTube as an excerpt from the movie. But it goes a little something like this. So once upon a time, there was this monastery and these monks that lived there, and they really adored this Golden Buddha statue that they had, and they would do their prayers there, and they honored it, and it was a nice representation of who they were as a people and what they believed in. But they began to get word that there was this invading people that were coming to colonize and take over their land. And so so that so that the colonizers would not take their precious golden Buddha, they decided to kind of camouflage it and disguise it. So they covered it with mud and leaves and twigs and all kinds of stuff to get it to blend in so that it would not seem as though it had any value. And so the invasion did come. However, it lasted for so long that, after a few generations of monks, they began to forget that the golden Buddha was even there. And so one day, this monk was praying at the monastery and is kneeling in front of, this stone version of the Buddha. And right when he is done praying, something plops him on the head. And he realizes that a little piece has chipped off of the stone Buddha. And so he picks up the piece. It's like, where did this come from? Looks up at the statue and is like, oh, snap. And he notices that there is something gold and shimmering where this piece came from. And so he runs back to the other monks and he's like, hey guys, like this chip came off and or this piece of stone chipped off and it there is gold up under here. So all the other monks come and they start chipping away at the stone. And the moral of the story is that we are born golden. But over time, through indoctrination and the influences of others, we begin to put casing over who we are in order to blend in and in order to fit in with society, so much so that we forget that we are the golden Buddha. And then we have an awakening, a dark night of the soul. And we did an episode on that last
Right,
week.
the
So
last
take a
week,
look at it. So you go through your dark night of the soul, your awakening, and that is the chipping off of that stone. And when you get a peek of the light, the gold, the brilliance that's underneath, you basically spend the rest of your life chipping away, chiseling off all of the stone casing because you want nothing more than to be that golden Buddha again. You want nothing else but to experience the excitement that you had when that first piece of the casing chipped off. And so our dharma is a lifelong process. It's not something that you meet and then it's over and that's it. Our dharmas are evolve as we evolve. And so our purpose will stay the same. The essence of our dharma will stay the same, but the ways in which we choose to express our dharmas will evolve and will change. So that is the story of the Golden Buddha.
Like, and we all have this purpose, and the purpose will be a blessing to others as well. And even if it's not on a global level, it's your light still shines
Oh yeah.
with whomever you're interacting with. It still
Exactly.
shines. Yes.
Yep, it's going to touch whoever it's going to touch. Your people are your people, the people who are meant to be touched by whatever it is that you are offering the world, they will be. So, don't be dismayed when you feel like, if you think nobody's paying attention or you're not as big as Oprah and Beyonce, not everybody is meant to touch people like that. And even with them, look at the blogs. They got people that don't like them too. So, but how it's your dharma is the fact that you continue to love what you do, whether you're paid for it or whether you're not paid for it, your heart is in it and you do it because it's a body of work that you feel like the world needs to be able to experience.
Right. And that can be, I think that with society and like you have bills, it's like finding that balance to do the things that you love if you're not currently doing that, to have the balance to be able to find the things that you love and then kind of transition, because spirit will make room for you to transition.
Oh, yeah.
To make it a career. When you're genuine and true to you and doing what serves you, your highest self, spirit will make room. You will make money from it some type of way. It will allow you to walk in it. Once you get past the fear of it and the sounds of the other voices.
Very true.
For the decision that you made.
Very true. And there are different ways that you can know, or ways that you can come into your dharma. And this concept I actually got from Sahara Rose. She is the she's an author of modern Ayurvedic books. She wrote Eat, Feel Fresh. She also wrote The Idiot's Guide to Ayurveda. And she has a book on dharma. And I like in her book that she talks about four ways in which you can come to your dharma. And for some people, they already know their gift. Those are the people who like say they want to be a firefighter from 2 years old, and they literally become a firefighter, and it's the most fulfilling thing ever.
And it seems so easy for those.
Oh yeah, like so what? Like, and you hear a lot of singers say that, like, oh, I knew I wanted to sing since I was two. Like, what? Right. You know, but people do it. So you have that way, you know. You have some people who find their dharma through having a breakdown or that dark night of the soul. And as a result of that, that leads them, you know, to their dharma. You have where you just see that there's something you need, and because you can't seem to find it, you want to create it and offer it. So some people find it that way. And then last, there are people around you that need something, and because of their need, you're willing to create something to help others, and even if it doesn't do anything for you. And I think I'm definitely the dark night of the soul one, and the, you know, seeing me having a need and not being able to find it, so wanting to create it myself.
Yeah, I'm definitely a dark night of the soul one.
We had to force you into your calling, huh?
Yeah, you haven't forced me. You got to push me because, well, like, as I said before, career-wise, there was not a real passion there for any type of career, really. So when you're in this world and you're listening to people, it's kind of like, so you don't have a passion for anything, really? You don't want to do this? You don't want to do, no, not really. You know, and so that looks, to me at that time, it looked purposeless. Like, what is your point, and why am I here?
Yeah,
you don't want to do anything. Like, you don't have a love for anything. You don't have a love. I don't want to draw. I don't want to take pictures outside. You know, like, I can't pinpoint anything in society from that perspective that I would want to do.
Okay.
You know, and so that's why I felt like, you know, it was hard. You know, like, you know, somebody say, oh, you can braid hair. Yeah, but I don't like to, and I don't want to. Or, oh, you can cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want to cook. You know, oh, you should get a food truck. You should do a food truck. You know, sounds good financially.
Yeah.
But none of it, like,
but no thanks.
Speaks to me. Like, and so then I was like, okay, so why is it the things that I know how to do, I have no interest in doing? And so, so for me, you know, you got to push me, push me to it. And so then it's like, oh, I really enjoy this. I love, you know, helping people, and let me sit outside and look at the trees in the backyard and be in the rainforest. And maybe I need to go camping and, you know,
yeah.
Go camping. Maybe I need a house in the middle of the rainforest. You think somebody will go for that?
Heck yeah, why not?
I mean, right, you know, have us a nice little driveway and, you know, and go be off in the woods. I'll be, girl, oh my God, that'd be great.
Oh yeah, it's the hermit vibes for me.
Right. I know, girl. Oh, I love it. I love it. And so now, like as I was telling you, you know, this whole plant lady, and you know how you're taught, you know, when you truly want to do something, that person will come to you. When you're ready to be this, the mentor will come to you, or the people will come to you. So I'm like, oh, these plants, and I've tried several times to grow plants. I want to be, you know, I'm a plant mom, guys, and I've been wanting to grow plants, and I've been killing them. They've been dying left and right, and I've been putting all this money into these plants, y'all. I've been dying, and you know, getting the soil and trying to do this thing the correct way, and they've been dying. But even though I had taken a break, I'm not buying no more plants. I can't do it. It's still been in me. I want to buy the plants. I want these plants, and so I'm starting to read about the plants and everything. And then here's my neighbor. She sends me this. My neighbor comes around and she likes plants, and then she sends me this website with these beautiful plants, and you know, this discount when you order your first plant. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this website really talks you helps you to understand the plant's needs and what they might like, but also understanding that the plants may like different things, not necessarily what's written too. And so I get all these plants, y'all, and it's like I imagine it's like people that have animals. You know, like it's like I be thinking about my plants when I go to work, wondering if the light is right, if the temperature good, what's the humidity. I wasn't that extreme when I was killing them, guys. Now, but now I'm more invested. Now I'm more invested, and they are legit growing. Like, and I had to move one, y'all, that don't like to be moved. And I asked her, I was like, okay, if you like being here, I'm gonna need them leaves to like open up, because you're drooping. I'm gonna need you to come on, open up and grow a little bit. Why today, y'all? Why she growing? She that means
She
she wanna
growing.
stay. She growing, she growing. So that means she wanna stay. But when I tell you it's so peaceful, it's so much pleasure. I find so much joy in this, about how I felt about helping people, you know, like me helping people with their, you know, situations. Me with these plants, it's so fulfilling to me. And I talk to them, they don't talk back, not yet at least. Well, you know, but they understand me. She growing. And I have two males and two females. I did name them based off of that. And I said, in one of them, they have such personality, the one that's growing when I moved her. I was calling her one name, and I don't think she liked it. And so because I continued to call her something different. And I was like, I don't think you like the name that I gave you, because why do I keep calling you? I was calling her the name that I gave the other plant. And I kept calling her that name. And I said, that's what she want her name to be. So I changed her name. I gave her that name, and I, you know, made it okay with the other plant. And we switched names. Yeah, we had to switch names. So anyway, to say all of that, if I say, you know, I just want to stay at home all day and grow plants, then that can be looked down upon. But then now I'm hesitant, like, well, why am I getting into these plants? But see, like I told you, there's a I'm saying, like, well, what if I'm getting into these plants? So then eventually I might be out there with a whole garden. You never know what it'll lead up to when you're following it. You don't have to rush it. You don't have to rush what you're doing that you're enjoying. Just do it with passion and enjoy what you're doing, and go from there to find your dharma, find your
100%. 100%. And for anybody that's still struggling with finding their dharma, they have like, I mean, of course, there are a lot of superficial quizzes and stuff out there on the internet. And it's possible that some of them may help, some of them may not help. But I recommend this doshas quiz that Sahara Rose has on her website. And again, it's based on the Ayurvedic doshas, which there are three: Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. Vata is a combination of the air and space element. Pitta is a combination of the fire and water elements. And kapha is a combination of the water and earth elements. And if you go to her website, she'll have a string of questions for you to answer to help you determine which one you are dominant in. Of course, we are made up of all the elements, but there are some that we are just a little bit more dominated, others that we may be more recessive in. And so, she will tell you, like, I think she breaks it down by percentage, as to what it is. But for example, for me, I had mainly Vata, and then second was Kapha for me, and I didn't have anything in Pitta. So the thing about that is I have plenty of air, which is creativity and inspiring others, and I am able to connect with others. That's the earth energy, connecting, nurturing with others, and being able to carry my ideas to fruition. But because I lack the fire, that means that I can create so many things, and they only live within my office, and they never leave my computer, or they never leave the privacy of my home. Because the fire is that ignition, you know, it's igniting, and the drive and the motivation to put it out and to be impulsive and to just take chances and take risks. You know, for me, everything has to be so calculated. So that, you know, with the lack of fire, it could definitely stop me from being able to do things. And now the quiz is not going to tell you exactly what your dharma is, but it will tell you maybe the elemental qualities that you can look for that can point you in the direction of where your dharma may be. So again, for a Vata person, you're going to be somebody that's really creative. You like to do multiple things at once. You need freedom. You don't like to be bound by schedules, or, you know, bound to only stick to one thing. You may want to have many things and stuff like that. A Pitta person is going to be very driven. This may be somebody that's about profit. This is somebody that is going to want to make sure that they are able to make their money. They want to be able to be self-sustaining, like an entrepreneur, or somebody that is okay with the motivational leadership type of roles, being the one that's the CEOs. They want to run things and be the boss, you know, that type of energy. And then you've got the Kapha person who's going to be more of the nurturer, the person that's going to be more about the community. These are the people who may be chefs, or they may be you know, a herbalist, or, you know, your content creates small business owners, you know, something that's going to be a little bit more intimate. It doesn't have to have the big stage the way that the Pitta energy might want. So, you know, understanding the elements, and understanding your body constitution can also give you examples and can give you some sort of direction as to where your dharma may be. So I think, you know, that would be a good idea. And I will put the links in the description if you guys are interested in either her book or in taking her doshas quiz. So Toya, you mentioned for the Buddhist perspective, the Eightfold Path and the four, what were they? It was the
The
four
four,
something.
yeah, it was the Four Noble Truths.
The Four Noble Truths. Okay.
So to living your dharma, you have to understand those Four Noble Truths. And the noble truth is the truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering. And so the truth of suffering is just you seeing this, that the presence of suffering is there. And so then the cause of the suffering. Remember when we talk about changing, being the creator, you have to first identify the cause or that you've created it. So you identify the cause of your suffering. And then there's the truth to end the suffering. So your suffering would end through your enlightenment. You know, the more you're learning, things are starting to change in your life.
Okay.
And then you have the truth of the path that leads to the end of suffering. So when you follow those paths the right way path will lead to the end of the suffering.
Okay.
And so, and you're familiar with the Eightfold Path,
Yes.
which is your, it's the right understanding, the right thought, the right speech, the right action, the right livelihood, the right effort,
Yes.
right mindfulness, right concentration. So it's basically, again, the right way to you. It's what's right to you. And so the Eightfold Path is though having those understandings, though, you know, like I said, the understanding, the thought, the speech, action. But it's what's true to you in those actions. And then you will no longer be suffering. You're living a life of bliss. So it, ultimately, the end is you found your bliss. You're living your
Okay.
purpose. You're no longer suffering. We're not here to suffer.
Yeah, not for a long time anyway.
Right. This
Yeah.
you can end like your suffering is the it depends on you how long you suffer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. 'Cause suffering, quite honestly, is subjective to perspective.
Suffering it yes.
It is subjective to perspective. So that means that, what is suffering for one person may not be suffering for another person. And so if we can just transmute our perspective, then we can essentially rise up out of or change our vibration so that we are no longer operating on that end of suffering and we can transmute it into something else. Yeah. And so with the law of polarity, we know that everything is dual in nature and everything has poles. So if there exists suffering, then there exists the opposite of that, which is our bliss.
Yep. And you can and see that's and like what the perspective is looking at. So why do you feel like this is suffering for you? What type of belief system do you have to make you think this is suffering? And just in that and just in doing that and being able to, you know, like view it from a different perspective, you can alleviate the suffering.
Yep, you sure can. You sure
And
can.
it's in even, and I know that seems easy. I mean, hard. It seems it's easier said
Then done, yeah.
than done. But I'm trying to think, what's an example of something that you can change your perspective on? Like example, you may have a you may be house hunting, and you know, with the cost of rent these days, you may be eager to find a home. And every home you're going to, you may be putting in bids, you know, you're about to sign this lease over again. Maybe they'll give you 6 months and you're just unhappy. You feel like you're suffering. You could be you or the person who's living with someone that's ready to move out right now, but they're in the process of finding a home and the living conditions may not be pleasing to them. And so now you feel as if you're suffering. You're looking at your situation as if you're suffering. But if you can look at it as, well, this could have been going on with that house as to why I didn't get it. Or was this the house that I really, really wanted? Did it have everything that I said I wanted in it? What did I ask for? You know, it's different. Or, you know, maybe the mortgage was going to really be too high. You was just going to try to swing it. You know, there's different reasons if you're trusting yourself and you're being true to yourself, you know, there's different reasons why things happen. If you be honest with yourself when you ask those hard questions, then you have the opportunity to change your perspective. Like, oh, you know what? It's fine that I haven't found a house. Maybe I'm supposed to stay here another 6 months. It's gonna all work out. Everything belongs. And you can go on right from there and trust that you're gonna find the perfect house for you. And it may not, you know, and I like that. I'm like, it may not be perfect for anyone else, but for me.
And that's what matters anyway.
Right. And I, you know, and I, you know, we would say nothing's perfect, nobody's perfect. And now I'm like, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I'm because I am exactly how I'm supposed to be.
Yes, I am like
exactly
that.
Where I'm supposed to be right now. So yes. I am perfect.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, you have heard it. We've given you the Buddhist perspective, the Hindu perspective. And of course, this is not, you know, comprehensive. So, you know, this is just an introduction, a prelude to help you guys get excited about your purpose, your dharma, and following your bliss. And hopefully we have laid the foundation for you, and now you can take it from here and go and figure out what your bliss is, because we are waiting. Your tribe will not be able to find mm-hmm. you unless you show up. You mm-hmm. have to show up so that your people can find you, you know, be that lighthouse.
Absolutely.
And Light is the New Black is another good book that will help you to getting motivated to be who you were created to be.
You know, and even in that, remember she was going to the park and she just started writing.
Uh-huh.
She found inspiration just being out in the park writing.
And everything belongs, like, guys, if you get that book, you will see how synchronistic all of her, like, from mm-hmm. her apartment flooding.
The apartment flooding, yes.
I mean, her getting the call, her quitting her job and getting an offer, like.
The apartment flooding, terrible situation.
Oh, yeah.
She was so pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
But it was for the best.
Yes.
It pushed her.
Yes. And that book is by Rebecca Campbell, by the way. So it's Light is the New Black mm-hmm. by Rebecca Campbell.
It's awesome.
It is an awesome book. Definitely take a look at that. That's going to motivate you.
That would definitely help you be able to identify ways to find your bliss, actually. Yeah.
Yes. That's a good one. That one and Discover Your Dharma by Sahara Rose mm-hmm. are definitely good ones. So I think that's it, guys. We hope we've motivated you and giving you something to think about. Anything else, Toya?
No, I think that's it for today. We just want to, we're excited. We're happy. And, you know, write it. Tell us about it. Tell us about your experience and Definitely. Finding your bliss.
Yes. Please share the podcast. If you know anybody else who may be interested in today's topic, please share it with them. Again, you can rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We would love for you to rate us to what you think we deserve. But, you know, if you want to do a 4 or higher, we'd be greatly appreciative. Okay, guys, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you in the next episode.
Later.
Bye.